grass, shading his eye against the dappled sunlight that lanced through the gently waving branches above him. The pool seemed to have a bottom of clean stone and looked to be roughly 10 feet deep, but the water was so crystalline that it was very difficult to judge the true depth. As far as he could see, there was no menacing life lurking in the pool, just a large number of slow-moving tiny fish, brilliantly patterned in the brightest of colors.
I don't know. Those pretty little fish might be the kind to strip an ox to its bones in 30 seconds. Then again, they might not be.
Mildred knelt and cupped water in her hands, sipping at it, rolling it around her mouth before swallowing it.
Good? Good clean water?
Well, if it's been poisoned, then they use something midway between ambrosia and nectar, because that is as sweet and pure as anything I've ever tasted. If you could have bottled this back in the pre-dark times, you could have knocked all the other designer waters down the drain.
The others didn't need any invitation. Dean, Doc, and Christy threw themselves down flat at the side of the small lake, drinking in great gulps, letting the water run through their hair and over faces and necks.
Oh, it's quite wonderful. Washes away all the horrid, beastly stickiness of the humid forest. Cleanses in a magical moment.
Ryan, JB, and Jack were instinctively much more cautious. All of them peered around the clearing, looking and listening for any threat of danger.
Seems quiet. You want me to cover while you all drink?
Sure. I'll do the same for you in a couple of minutes.
Jack knelt, his head turning as he lowered his face toward the mirrored surface of the water. His dazzling white hair drooped down, becoming wet, the fine strands clinging together. Ryan laid the Steyr in the grass, kneeling and cupping his hands to drink. The others were right. It was cool, fresh, and utterly wonderful. Even as he sipped at the delicious water, Ryan looked around the clearing. Trader used to say that as long as you always expected trouble, you'd never be disappointed, and you'd never be taken by surprise. JB had his turn, then straightened, wiping his mouth on his sleeve. He reslung the scattergun across his shoulders, holding the Uzi at the ready. Christy finished next, followed by Jack.
How about risking a bath? Something that tastes this good has just got to be safe.
A typically female piece of logical thinking. Or should I rather say illogical thinking?
Doc, it's just too hot to bother with your teasing. And unless anyone has some serious objections, I'm going to peel off some layers and have a swim.
I'm still kind of worried by those natives we saw. And there's sacrifice stuff. There's a mess of things here that we don't begin to understand.
How about that swim? If I smell like the rest of you, then my armpits sure aren't charm pits. Being funky's all very well, but...
All right. But we do this careful and safe.
I don't mind if we do this swinging from a flying trapeze, Ryan, just as long as I can get cleaned up.
I'll vote for that.
Right. Ladies go first, with Dean and Jack. Doc and JB and me will stand watch. Then we change over.
Sounds good.
Mildred dropped her denim jacket in the grass and sat down to unlace her boots. Christy was already out of her western boots and was unholstering her weapon. Off came the pants and the white shirt, which left her in only her bra and panties, standing poised at the side of the lake like a carved goddess.
Diana refreshing herself after a day's hunting in the forest.
Watch the woods.
Ryan turned his back on the pool to look around the open space, checking the flower-covered trees.
A pleasure. Truly, this is a most enchanted place.
As Ryan surveyed the area, he saw the four swimmers and became doubly conscious of how sweat-crusted and sticky he felt, literally itching for the chance to get in the cool, clear water himself.
Woohoo!
Mildred floated on her face, wearing bra and panties like Christy, her muscular shoulders exposed to the sunlight. Dean was ducking and diving with sinuous ease, his dark body vanishing into the depths of the pool, then propelling himself upward, shaking his head amid a crown of scattered diamonds, laughing in sheer delight for the pleasure of it. Christy swam very slowly, her fiery hair burning on the surface of the pool. She waved to Ryan.
Company. 2. 9 o'clock from where you're looking.
Since JB hadn't opened fire with his Uzi, Ryan figured there was no immediate danger. He turned slowly, 90 degrees to his left, looking casually where JB had indicated. He saw them immediately. Though the first glimpse had been very brief, Ryan thought he recognized the two as the natives they'd seen a little earlier. Only their faces were visible, but they didn't look threatening. More curious. At first, Ryan guessed that they were probably fascinated by the semi-naked bodies of the two women. But he noticed right away that their dark eyes were fixed on the languid body of Jack Lauren, who was floating on his back, spitting up a stream of water like a broaching dolphin.
Want me to take them both out?
No. Not unless we have no choice about killing them. Best not to arrive someplace and start butchering the locals. Just watch them double careful.
Watch who? Whom should we be watching, Ryan, my dear fellow?
Nothing, Doc. Keep a watch on the far side of the pool and tell us quietly if you see anyone over there. Don't do anything hasty.
The two pair of eyes were still watching Jack as he swam slowly around the edge of the pool. It had to have been obvious to the natives that their presence had been spotted by both JB and Ryan, but they still made no attempt to move back into deeper cover. They whispered to each other, revealing that their teeth had been filed to points. Ryan glimpsed tiny flecks of blue-green stone embedded in their central incisors, that he guessed were chips of turquoise. Jack had stripped to his shorts for the swim and was now picking his way out of the pool, his pale body gleaming in the sunlight. His hair fell across his shoulders like a shawl of snow. He looked across toward Ryan and JB, suddenly spotting the two faces peeking out at him. He pointed a finger, as white as wind-washed bone, at the pair of intruders.
Look out!
The natives vanished as quickly as if they'd been grabbed from behind. There was a brief flurry of rustling from the undergrowth, and then silence again.
Same ones?
Reckon so. There's someone very much like them. Didn't seem to mean us any harm.
Christy rose from the pool, the water streaming over her breasts and stomach and thighs.
What do they want? Just curious?
Ryan holstered the Sig Sauer.
I reckon so. You people had long enough to swim and freshen up. It's our turn now. Get the blasters as soon as you're dressed and keep a lookout. But don't start shooting unless there's a good reason. A place like this wild jungle, it probably isn't a good place to upset the locals with a firefight.
Ryan peeled off his clothes, leaving them in a neat pile, but carried his gun to the edge of the pool and placed it on the rich grass. The water felt every bit as good as it had looked. Ryan luxuriated in the fresh water. Like Jack, he had stripped down to his shorts, relishing the movement of the cool liquid against his skin.
Deep.
JB wasn't a great swimmer, and he moved nervously from side to side, taking care not to ever get himself too much beyond his depth. Doc had pulled off his cracked knee boots and stained frock coat, hesitating before divesting himself of his ancient breeches. He peeled off the white shirt to reveal a tattered undershirt that buttoned high up to his neck and undershorts that covered him all the way down to his skinny knees. Doc stalked toward the inviting pool, looking like a somewhat disheveled heron, clutching to him the ragged underclothes.
Geronimo!
Later, they all lay in the grass, letting their hair dry, resting from the swim, enjoying the cool shade. A light wind had risen, taking away the top layer of the stifling humidity. Ryan stretched and stood.
But now I reckon it's time to be moving on.
They followed the continuation of the trail. It ran roughly west, picking up on the far side of the pool where the two natives had been hiding. Ryan led the skirmish line, spaced out at about 5-yard intervals, with JB, as usual, bringing up the rear of the small column. The overwhelming humidity had mercifully eased, helped by the freshening easterly breeze that rustled the topmost branches of the mighty trees. The trail was well-trodden, wide enough for a wagon most places, running over mainly level ground. Every now and again it was crossed by narrower sidetracks that he guessed were probably for hunters.
Trees thinning out some.
Yeah. Seemed to be moving steadily downhill. Could be heading toward a river.
Ryan held up a hand, stopping and looking around him. Christy was right. The giant forest of a couple of miles back had diminished, and they had just passed through several clearings. Dean pointed up into a circle of blue sky.
Look at that bird, Dad!
Huh. Eagle of some kind.
I believe that the bird in question is most likely to be a giant condor. It was always a splendid bird, but that specimen seems unusually large.
Ryan's guess